And we are now in Proverbs what? 31. Proverbs 31. And I'm in Isaiah, so that's not going to work. Proverbs, that's in the Old Testament, I believe. Yes, it is. Okay, Proverbs 31. All right. Are you glad you're saved?
Amen.
All right. Would you rather be here than the best hospital in Buncombe County?
Yep.
How about even in Henderson County? Okay, most certainly, all right. So it's good to have you, and especially good to have the Swollens with us tonight, and just a blessing to have them as a part. And praise the Lord for them. All right, here we are in Proverbs chapter 1, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on it, but just a couple of verses and maybe a hop, skip, and a jump that just was a joy for me. And so I'm looking at it, and the very first two verses is what I wanted to just concentrate on. There's a number of really good verses in here, and verses maybe that remind you of your spouse or your parent, your mom. Just wanted to just kind of give it a running start. So Proverbs chapter 31 is where we are. And you'll notice what it says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows. Now, a lot of times I'll just kind of read through that real quickly and move on to where it talks about the virtuous woman and all that it says about her, and rightfully so. It has phenomenal principles about a godly woman, all right? But it just caught my attention, and I wanted just to look at those first two verses for just a little bit. Notice what it says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy, that's kind of a strange thing, that his mother taught him. I wonder what prophecy that was. What my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows. So let's get a couple of definitions in there, at least one. Lemuel means unto God. Lemuel means unto God. And so what we believe this is about is this was Bathsheba's name. This is a name that she kind of named Solomon. Okay? So he had Solomon, and he also had a name of Lemuel, and he also had a name, Jedidiah. Okay, I don't know if you know that or not, Jedidiah. If you go back into Samuel, where the sin with Bathsheba and David and so forth, and their firstborn died, then you have Nathan when Bathsheba gave birth to another son, was going to give birth to another son, and Nathan gave him, David told Nathan about it, and Nathan gave what's called a blessed name to Solomon, and it was Jedidiah. Now think with me just a moment. Nathan? What position did Nathan have? Was he a prophet? Yes. So here you have, now let's look at it again. The words of King Lemuel, I'll get it out there. The prophecy, there we go, that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows. So let's take it apart just for a little bit and get some practical things from it, okay? So here you have Lemuel, and it's believed. The scripture doesn't bear it out, but it's believed, and probably so, that Lemuel was a name like his mother would call it. For example, my dad never called me Randy, or very seldom called me Randy. Now, my mother had two names for me. It was Randy, and it was Randall. When I heard Randall, I knew I might as well go ahead and get the casket and get everything lined up because I was about to die. And if I heard Randall Wilson, I just knew I might as well just die right where I was because it was coming. It was coming. And I had several adventures of those kinds of things. All right, but my dad, especially in the upper years as an adult, when I was an adult and on, my dad would just simply abbreviate it and call me Ran. Well, evidently, this was a name like that his mother gave. But then when you have Jedediah means beloved of Jehovah. Beloved of Jehovah. Now let's think about who it is that's giving him these names. Nathan, when he heard that Solomon was going to be born, he gave him what's called a blessed name. It's kind of like a surname in a way. And it has the idea of beloved of the Lord. I almost said blessed, that's why I looked down. Beloved of the Lord. But then you see, notice it says, Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Now, prophecy could be, there's two ways to look at it, especially in the New Testament. There's foretelling, foretelling. In other words, telling in advance what's going to happen. And then there's forthtelling. Sometimes in the New Testament, prophecy has the idea, and you know it's not foretelling of telling the future. It is rather a preacher forthtelling the word of God. But here you have a mother who is necessarily understanding that Nathan was involved from the very early days. And it says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Now, notice what it says in verse 2. You see the same word three times. What's that word? Can you find it for me real quickly? What? That's right. It has the essence of what about this? Or, and literally, let me see it. What shall I say? Is literally what it has the idea in mind. What shall I say? Here is his mother giving the name to her son, Lemuel, that means unto God. And she says, what shall I say? She says, what my son? What shall I say, my son? What shall I say, the son of my womb? What shall I say of my, what is the last word in that verse? My vows. Does that take you back to somebody else in the Old Testament who was a mother, who also vowed vows? Perhaps even in the presence of a prophet. That's exactly right, Hannah. Now, the scripture doesn't say this. This is Braeology here. So you can put it in your pocket if you want to, and you can set it aside if you want to. But I'm just wondering by the wording in verses 1 and 2. Now, the context is true, that she made vows to the Lord. And she's referencing here the son of my vows. And it says, Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. And I'm just wondering if they are the prophecies of maybe even someone like Nathan. Now, that's Braeology, so please don't go out here and say that I'm preaching heresy or extra biblical truths. But what I am saying is this. Is here you have a lady, you have a woman, Bathsheba, and she had an earlier son who died as a result of sin. A son that was even taken from this life directly by none other than the God David worshiped. But then now we have this grown son. He was a prince and he was a young man coming up to his prime, no doubt. And as you begin to look at chapter 30, 1, excuse me, 31, you begin to see several themes. I won't give them all because you're going to hear it from some of the men next week. But look at it. Notice what she says. Verse 3. Give not thy strength unto whom? Unto women. That bring any thoughts back to your mind? Nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, unto God. That's his name. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Look at verse number 8. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. They're without knowledge. They're dumb. I don't think he's speaking there just about those who do not have the capability of speech. But notice what he says, what she says to him. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. And there's a lot in the book of Proverbs, as written by Solomon, that has the poor and needy as the subject of those texts. So, with all that in mind, I'm just wanting us to pause tonight and ask ourselves. Now, here is a mother as she is giving instruction to her son. And she's going to do it all the way through chapter 31. And she is going to say, who can know a virtuous woman? And she begins to help her son to understand, here's a virtuous woman. There had been some problems. Now, we don't know exactly why she was on the rooftop. We don't know if she did that regularly. We don't know if she did it provocatively. We don't know if she knew that the king was in residence. Oftentimes, there's something to let people know. For example, at Windsor Castle over in England. Now, we have a king there now. I don't know if it's the same tradition. Probably is. But when we were there, the queen was still on the throne. And when we went to Windsor Castle, then we were able to see, oh, the flag is up. That means the queen is here today. When the queen's not in residence, when she's not there, she's back in Buckingham or wherever else she is, then that flag is all the way down. So we don't know exactly what's going on here, but we do know this. We don't know what she's thinking, if she's reminiscing about the fall that they had. King David's fault, perhaps some of her fault, perhaps a lot of her fault. We don't know. But what we do know is that she has a burden for her son. And as far as we can tell, in Solomon's younger years, he basically listened to that counsel. In his younger years, he pretty well stayed according to the dictates of what a king should be and what a godly man should be. But as he began to marry and to have concubines and all of that, what he was told became true, and that his wives would turn him away from the true and living God to worship those false idols and false gods. So here you have a mother burdened for her son. Now, we have mothers with us tonight. And some of yours, like Becky's and mine, all of ours are grown. We have grandchildren now. And some of yours are grown, some of them you still have there as your tax deduction. And that's a good thing for next week. And so that's a good thing. But some of the times, those young people stray. They do. And it's a mother's love and a daddy's love too that stays after him. And what mom's doing here when her son was about to take the throne, when her son was about to become the king, that she said to him all the things that you're going to hear next Wednesday night and say, dear Lord, I pray that my sons, my daughters, grown as they are, or my younger ones, or my grandchildren, whenever I have an influence in their lives, limited exposure she had to her son now, as no doubt he was learning all the laws of Israel. He was learning his rightful position, that when he was to be king, that this would be his ability and he could rule over the dumb and over the needy and over the poor and over the, and to not take things that just gifts that, and be careful who you allow to be your counselors. No doubt his mother taught him much of those things. And I would say to the ladies here tonight, don't ever stop. If your child or your grandchildren are going in a godly direction, be their best cheerleader. I mean, pull out. If you don't have them, go buy them. Pom-poms. I mean, 2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits a peso or whatever. Get out there and cheer. Yes, are you having family devotions? Oh, that is wonderful. What are you reading about now? What are you having? Are you praying together? What are you doing in your family? Be their best counselor as far as encouraging them on. And that's what mom is doing here. Now, with all of that in mind, just by way of review, and just before I exit stage right here, I guess this would be stage right, as I exit this way, we're not in a theater, so it's that exit through that door. Sorry about that. But a theater of production, like a Shakespearean theater, not a going to the movies, all right? We don't do that. But the point I'm trying to make is that before I leave, let's review this again. Is how important it is here that maybe in the rearing of our children, our adopted children, if you have someone that maybe is struggling and doesn't have a mom and dad, doesn't have a grandpa and grandma who are godly, and they tend to hang around, then help them hang around and just pull them in and love on them. But as you do, what an opportunity, you have. You never know what God can do. What God can do. Let me give you two quick illustrations and I'll quit. Let me just give you one. I was going to give two, but this is on the air and it travels all over this region, I guess, and it would affect someone that I doubt it would ever get back, but I just don't want it to. But it's a wonderful story of someone who led a very, very, very wayward life. Very wayward life. And got saved. And began to get discipled. And just began to grow in the Lord. And that individual had a son or a daughter. And I guess that would make sense. It would be one or the other. And but anyway, had a child. And made certain that young person was being reared in a completely poles opposite direction, so that young person has gone on to serve the Lord. One last illustration, and I may have mentioned this. I know I mentioned the first part. I don't know if I have the last part. But I told you about a fella that got saved. And he was a cusser and a boxer and a fighter. Have I mentioned this in the last 3 or 4 weeks? I have not. Okay, then I probably have not given it here. I know I've told it once or twice. But this fella, for whatever reason, when I was in Asheville, he just all of a sudden showed up in the office and said, I'd like to see the preacher. And so the secretary came in and said, Brother Bray, there's a guy here. I don't know who he is. And he wants to see you. And I said, well, that's okay. Let's bring him on in. And so he came in, sat down, and every third word was a cuss word. He probably cussed in front of her. It was just a way of life. I mean, cursed left and right. And we talked about salvation, and we talked for probably 2 hours. And then all of a sudden, he said, okay, I got to go. 3 or 4 weeks later, he'd come back. A month or two later, he'd come back. He did that for probably 2 years, maybe three. And finally, after all that time, I mean, he was a fighter with martial arts. His parents owned that kind of a setting where they taught that. But he was also a big street fighter. I mean, it was nothing for him to go out and just get into a brawl. He was good at what he did. But he was very wicked at what he did as well. Well, after that period of time, he finally got saved. Really got saved. I mean, really got saved. But he still cussed about every 5 words. And he just didn't even know it. And then finally he began realizing this is not good. And so he had to really, really work on it. But he just never did stop doing it much. And I've been here a year. Probably 4 or 5 months ago. A gentleman showed up here in a police uniform, and it was that guy. Growing in the Lord, growing in the Lord. What a blessing. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you the end of the story. About a week ago, I get this email from him, and he said, "Have you seen this?" And I saw it was from him. I thought, uh-oh, I don't know what this is. It's his little boy. He determined when he first got saved, this is the guy that he had done some very wrong things with another man's wife. And after he got saved, he didn't tell me anything about it. He went to that door. I've told you this part. He went to the door, and the woman's husband came to the door, and he said, "I am." He says, "I know who you are." And he said, "Would you like to hit me?" And he did. He hit him right in the face. Boom, hit him right in the face. And this guy I'm talking about could have killed him in just probably 10 seconds. He said, "Would you like to do it again?" And the guy did it again. When he came to see me after that, his face was bloated. I mean, black and blue and bloated and all of that. But the man called him about several weeks later. He said, "My life's a mess. I don't know what you've got that I don't have. But you could have killed me. And instead of doing that, you told me you had it coming." And he probably told him about Christ. Well, long story short, I got this video. And when his little boy, when all that happened, his little boy was in a car, or whatever you call it, where the moms carry it. Usually, I don't know how moms do it, but carried it. Long story short, and we'll go to prayer. Here's his little son now. They put him in our Christian school at Temple. This has nothing to do with Bray, because I was gone. I've been an ambassador in here. His son, how old would you say he is, honey? 6? 10? Okay, maybe 10 years old. I don't know why he did it. It was in some kind of a thing at school, but he preached. It was phenomenal. The way he preached from his heart, the gift that he has, the vocabulary, his presence of preaching. And here's what I'm saying, is it doesn't matter what God has forgiven you of. What matters is what you do with where you are now. And what I do with what God's given me now. The exposures, the opportunities, stay hungry. Because here is this friend of mine, and he still lets a cuss word come out every once in a while. Last time we talked and every once in a while, blank, whoop, and it'd come out. But it was nothing like it used to be. Let God make a difference in your life and in the lives of those. Just like Bathsheba. Lemuel, from God, unto God. The one that Nathan said, his blessed name of Jehovah. Maybe you just need to give some of your grandchildren or children a blessed name and follow through with it as you give them godly counsel. I trust you will. Well, I've taken the time, and so it's time for prayer, and I'm going to ask Brother Corallo if he will come. And did any of that make sense tonight? Hope so. I hope so. And probably what we're going to do is go into Daniel, and then I think we're about finished. Well, we got a ways to go in Philippians, but I think after Philippians on Sunday night, we're going to start chapter 3 Sunday night. But when we finish Philippians, I believe I'm going to teach on Sunday nights through the church covenant, the church doctrinal statement. And has that been done recently? It's not. Okay. So we'll take the various doctrines. We're not going to do it like a Bible college. But to let you know, here's what we believe. And here's how it's bolstered by the Word of God. The Constitution or the thing says it in about a 2 or 3 or 4 sentence thing. But we're going to give you some meat to put with that. That lets you know that the Calvary Baptist Church is on solid foundation. And so how many of you think that would be of a help? Do you? Okay, good. Well, we'll be doing that. It'll still be a little while. Probably several weeks. But we'll start doing that as the Lord opens the door.